morning and welcome to Christ Church. It's so good to see you this first weekend of spring break. As you can tell, things are going to be a little different today. We knew we were in the middle of this series called Taking It to the Streets, and really we've been given a challenge by our Savior to take this message, this good news. And so what we wanted to do is talk about the good news today. Talk about exactly what that is. And so what we decided to do is look at Romans chapter 1, 2, and 3. But we're going to take a little different approach to that. It's some pretty heavy stuff. And so this morning, what I want to simply do is tell you a story. Tell you the story of five brothers. Once upon a time, there were five brothers in this far-off land. And they lived with their father in this incredible castle. And this land was beautiful. It was gorgeous. There were gorgeous mountains and just grass-covered valleys with trees and flowers. It was a gorgeous place. And day after day after day, these boys would run through the grass and run through the mountains and climb the trees. And they had so much fun in this incredible land. They had so much fun with their incredible father. And their father every day warned them to stay away from the river. But these boys every day would go out and play. These boys every day would frolic in the grass and have a good time. But every night, they returned home. Every night, they came back to that castle. Every night, they sat around the fire. And every night, this family got together and shared the stories of their day. Talked about their adventures. Talked about life. They would celebrate. They would count their blessings. You see, it was good for them to be in the castle. It was good for them to be with their father. Would you stand with me? And we are going to celebrate our father. Every night, the king and his five sons would sit around the fire and they would celebrate. They would talk about their day. They would talk about the good things that they had in this land, that they had a wonderful father. And in the morning, they'd wake up just like every day, and they'd go out and play. Now, the oldest son, he was obedient. He did what his father said, but those four younger sons, well, they were a little rebellious. And every morning, the king would say to them, stay away from the river. It's dangerous. I know it looks refreshing. I know it looks like it's moving slow, but it's dangerous. And so every day when these boys went out to play, they were drawn to the allure of this river. And every day as they went out to play, they would get closer and closer and closer to this river. Until one day, one of the brothers said, what if I just step in? What if you hold on to me and I step in? Then the river won't take me downstream. And so that's what they did. They formed a human chain. One brother grabbed the other, and the other brother grabbed the other, and that brother grabbed the last, and that first one walked out into the water. And as soon as he walked into that water, the current was so strong, the brothers were swept downstream. They were tossed over rocks, tossed over boulders. They were taken through the rapids. They screamed as loud as they could for help. But their cries were drowned out by the rushing water. They fought to regain control. They fought to regain balance. But the river's current was too strong. They could not fight it. They could not keep away from it. And so they finally decided to just surrender, to allow it to take them where it would. And so for hours, this river took these boys downstream, and it deposited them on the side of the bank in a strange land, in a barren land, in a distant land, a place where they did not belong. You see, savage people dwelt there. It was not safe like their home. Cool winds chilled the air. It was not warm like their home. Rugged mountains marked the terrain. It was not inviting like their home. They didn't know where they were at, but they did know one thing. They didn't belong there. That's not where they were supposed to be. And so for a long time, these boys just laid on the shore of this river, stunned, shaken by their fall, shaken by their trip down the river. And finally, they mustered up the courage to get up, and they determined they were going to find a way back home, find a way back to their father. And so they tried to walk back up the stream, the river, but it was too strong. They tried to walk up the side of the river's edge, but it was too steep. And they looked up to the mountains. They said, we could climb the mountains, but the mountains were too high and they didn't know the way. So finally, these brothers resolved to just sit down and light a fire. One of them spoke up and said, we shouldn't have disobeyed our father. We should have listened to him. We are a long, long, long way from home. But with the passage of time, these boys learned to adapt in this land. They go out every day looking for food, finding nuts and berries to eat. And they go out looking for animals so they can have skins and clothes to wear. But they determined every single day they would not forget their homeland. They would not forget their father. And so every day they went out and gathered supplies. Every day they went and worked on a shelter. But every night they returned to the fire. And they would dream of home. They would dream of the castle. They dream of their father. And they so longed to be back in that place. But one night when they all returned home, one brother did not come back. And so the next morning, the other three brothers woke up and went to look for their brother. And they found him in the valley living with the savages. As they approached, he said, I've grown tired of our talks. I mean, what good does it really do for us to remember? Besides, this land isn't so bad. I mean, I'm building a great house here. I'm building this big house. It's going to be my mansion. But the other brother said, this isn't home. This is not where we belong. No, but if you don't think of the real one, then this one's just fine. But what about father, they asked. What of him? He isn't here. He isn't near. Am I to spend all my life just waiting on him? I mean, if he comes, he comes. But I'm not holding my breath. So the other three brothers left this brother building his hut. And they went back to the fire and they sat down around that fire and they talked about home. They talked about their father. And they dreamed of one day returning. Not long after that, the brothers woke one morning to find another brother missing. And so they went out to find him. He wasn't far from his first brother, the one building the hut. And so they approached. He was on the hill looking over. And as they approached, he said, can you believe what our brother is doing? Do you see the disgusting things that he is doing? I mean, our brother is an embarrassment. Our brother is an embarrassment to our family. I mean, can you believe the deeds he's doing? He's forgot our father. He's forgotten our land. He doesn't speak of them anymore. The youngest brother spoke up and said, well, what he's doing is wrong, but we messed up too. I mean, we disobeyed father. We touched the river. We ignored our father's warnings. Oh, we may have made a few mistakes, he said, but compared to that sleaze over there in that hut, we're saints. We're saints. Father would be so embarrassed. Father would be so mad. Father is going to punish him. Come, the brother said, come back to the fire with us. Let's go and speak of home. He said, no, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to keep an eye on my brother because someone needs to keep track of everything he does wrong. So when father returns, we can tell him. So those two brothers went back to the fire all by themselves. They sat there, talking of home, talking about their father, dreaming of the day they could return. Well, the next day, the youngest brother woke up to find that he was all by himself. And so he went looking for his other brother and found him by the river, stacking rocks. As he approached, he said, it's no use, younger brother, it's no use at all. He says, I've got to work. I mean, he's not going to come to us. He's not going to come rescue us. I have to go to him. I offended him. I insulted him. I failed him. So there's only one option. I'm going to build a path back up the river so I can walk back into our father's presence. I mean, rock upon rock upon rock upon rock. I'm going to stack so I can one day walk back into his presence. And when I do that, when I complete that project, when I walk back in, he's going to see how hard I've worked. He's going to see how diligent I have been, and he's going to have no choice but to throw open the doors and welcome me home. Well, the younger brother did not know what to say. He just looked at this brother and turned and walked back to the fire. And he sat there by himself, and he remembered his father, he remembered his home, and he longed to be there again. Now, Paul talks about these boys. Talks about these brothers in Romans 1, 2, and 3. And let me quickly just break down these brothers for you. See, we have the first one, and he's the hut-building hedonist. You see, his aim, his goal, his purpose in life is pleasure. And you see, this person navigates his life as if God never was, never is, or never will be. In fact, he says, if God is around, I just don't need him. And he is content not to just seize the future. He just wants to seize the day. He doesn't care about tomorrow. He just cares about the pleasure of today. Listen to what Paul says about this brother in Romans chapter 1, verse 25. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator. You see, the hedonist makes poor swaps. He swaps a mud hut, all right, or a mansion for this mud hut. He swaps a brother for strangers. But then Paul moves and talks about this second brother, and that's the fault-finding judgmentalist. You see, the approach of the second brother is really easy. His goal is to find what's wrong with everybody else and never look at himself. You see, he's the judgmentalist. He says, I might be bad, I might have done a few things, but as long as he can find somebody worse, he's good. He's good. You see, he fuels his goodness with the failures of everybody else. I mean, he's the self-appointed teacher's pet. I mean, he's the one that looks around at the messy work on everyone else's paper but doesn't see the F on his own. I mean, he's the neighborhood watchdog who hands out citations to everybody else because they have a messy yard but doesn't see the trash in his own yard. He says, come on, God, let me show you what they've done. Come on, God, let me show you their sins. Let me show you their mistakes. And you can't fool God. Listen to what Paul says about this brother. You, therefore, have no excuse. You who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself because you who pass judgment do the same thing. You see, God's not going to fall for that trick that we try to play. And then we get to this third brother, this rock-stacking legalist. Now we look at this brother who's in the water, we think, you know what, that's a pretty good guy. And that's someone we should respect. I mean, he's hardworking, he's diligent, he's zealous, he's intense. I mean, he realizes that he's got a problem, he's made some mistakes, so he's going to do whatever he can within his power to fix it. I mean, surely you look at this guy, you think he's worth our applause. Surely when you look at this guy, you say, man, this is a guy I should be like. I mean, look at this guy, he said, surely. I mean, surely this guy is worthy of the Father's mercy. I mean, when the Father sees all of his work and sees everything he's done, won't he just throw open the doors and welcome him in with open arms? Surely the Father's going to be happy to see him. Well, that is if he ever does. You see, the problem is not the affection of the Father, it's the strength of this river. I mean, this wasn't a little gentle brook, this wasn't a little stream where you watch a stick go down it. This was a rushing, roaring torrent of water. I mean, is this son strong enough to build a pathway back to God, back to the Father's house? I mean, doubtful. We certainly can't. Listen to what Paul says. He says this, there is no one righteous, not even one. But we try, don't we? Oh, we try hard. We may not stack rocks, but we go to God and say, God, if I do this, will it be good enough? I mean, if I come to church, pick up a rock. If I give money and I pick up another rock. If I help this person on the side of the street, I pick up a rock. I mean, rock after rock after rock after rock we pick up. And you know what the problem is? I mean, you might make 5 steps, but you got 5 million more to go. You got 5 million more to go. The river is too long. The river is too strong. And that river that separates us is the river of sin. Listen to how Paul put it in 3:19. He says this. It's the theme. This is the theme behind this whole section. He says this. We're sinners, every one of us, in the same sinking boat with everybody else. I mean, this is quite a trio here, these three brothers. You got one on a bar stool. You got one on a judge's chair. And you got one sitting in a church pew. And we look at these brothers and we think, man, these guys are so different. Yet the truth is, they're all the same. They're all the same. They've all been given the same opportunity and they all have rejected the hand of God reaching down to them. Well, the brother was sitting around the fire, remembering home, remembering his father, remembering all the good times. And as he was sitting there, he heard a voice. A voice from behind him said, "Brother, I have come to bring you home." He turned around to see his oldest brother, and he ran to him and jumped in his arms, and they embraced for a long time. And then that older brother said, "Where are your brothers?" He said, "Well, one is building a house. One is watching him. And another, well, he's stacking rocks." So the firstborn set out to find his siblings. The firstborn set out to bring his brothers home. And so the first brother he went to find was the brother in the valley building the hut. As he approached, he heard a voice from inside the hut say, "Go away, stranger. You don't belong here. I don't want your help. You can't have my mansion." He said, "Brother, our father has sent me to bring you home. Our father has sent me to bring you back." He said, "Go away, stranger. You can't have my stuff. You can't have my house. You are not welcome here. This isn't a mansion. This is not a mansion at all," the brother said. "This is just a hut. You were born in a different land. This is not where you belong. Oh, this is my mansion. This is the finest mansion in all the lowlands. I built this with my own hands. Now go away. You cannot have it. Don't you remember your father? Don't you remember where you were from? I have no father. Oh, you weren't born in this place. You were born in a distant land, in a great castle, in a beautiful country that's warm and filled with trees with great fruit. You disobeyed the father, and now you're here in this strange land. I have come to bring you home. I've come to bring you back to our father. Go away. Go away, intruder," they said. But in that moment, he locked eyes with his brother, and it was like he was having a dream. And in the back of his mind, he recognized this person. But then the savages in the house filled the windows and said, "Go away, go away. All he wants is your house. Send him away. He doesn't belong here." And he says, "You're right. And neither does he. He doesn't belong here." But at this point, this brother had come to trust these savages. And they said, "Send him away. Get rid of him. All he wants is your mansion." And so that's what he did. He sent the older brother away. Well, he didn't have to go far to find the second brother. See, the second brother was on the hillside just opposite of that mud hut. And as he approached, he heard his brother shouting, "I am so glad you are here. It is about time. There are some things that you need to know. There are some things you need to see. Are you aware of our brother? Are you aware of how he's turned his back on our father? Are you aware of how he's turned his back on our... He never speaks of home anymore. I mean, I'm so glad you've come. I'm so glad you're here. I've been keeping track. I've got everything. Punish him. Give him judgment. I'm going to applaud your anger. I'm going to applaud your judgment. Look at all the sins of our brother." Well, the oldest looked at this brother and said, "I'm not worried about his sins. Let's talk about yours." "My sins? My sins? Yeah, your sins. You disobeyed the father as well." And the son just smirked and slapped the air. My sins are nothing. I mean, do you see what our brother is doing? Do you know what he has done? I mean, I can tell you stories of these savages and what they do all day and what they do all night. I'd rather you tell me about yourself. I'd rather you tell me about your heart. Oh, don't worry about me. I'll show you what he does. I'll show you things he's done wrong. Come with me. Come to the house. I go and watch all the time. I make long lists. Follow me." And he ran off to the house, never realizing his brother was walking away. Well, the oldest brother goes to find the other brother who's down by the river stacking rocks. And as he approaches, this brother is busy. He says, "I can't talk now. I'm too busy. I must work. But Father has sent me to bring you home. Father has asked me to come and to get you." He says, "Don't interrupt me. Don't interrupt me. I'm busy right now. I am busy working. I must build a path. I must work my way back up the river. I mean, first I'll show my father that I'm worthy. Then I will ask for his mercy." But he's already given you his mercy. That's why he sent me. He sent me to bring you home. He sent me to take you back to him. This task is too big. This river is too long. You can never do this by yourself. You are not strong enough. Let me take you. Father sent me. And for the first moment, that rock-stacking brother stopped what he was doing. He looked at his brother and he said, "How dare you? How dare you speak with such irreverence? My father will not simply forgive. I have sinned, and I have sinned greatly. I mean, he told us to stay away from the river, and I completely disobeyed him. I am a great sinner. I'm in need of much work." And the older brother just looked at him with sad eyes and said, "No, you have it wrong. You're in need of much grace. I mean, the distance between you and our Father is too great. It's too long, it's too hard. You don't have the strength nor enough stones to build this path. That's why he sent me. He wants me to carry you home." "What are you saying? I can't do it on my own? What are you saying? I'm not strong enough? What are you saying? I'm not smart enough? I mean, look at my work. Look what I've already done. I've got 5 steps. But you've got 5 million more to go." At this, the younger brother looked at the older brother and he was angry. He says, "I know who you are. I know who you are. You're evil. You're the evil one. You want to get me away from my holy work." And then he threw a rock at him. And the older brother said, "No, Father sent me to bring you home." "Heretic," he screamed. "Heretic, leave this land. You can't stop me. I will build this path back to my Father. And then he will have to forgive me. He must forgive me. I will win his favor. I will earn his mercy." And the older brother just looked at him and said, "Favor won is no favor. Mercy earned is not mercy. I implore you, brother, let me take you home. Let me carry you up the river." His response? Another rock. And so the older brother went back to the fire where the younger brother was sitting. And as he walked up, the younger brother looked up and saw him coming, and he was excited. He said, "Where are my brothers? Are they coming too?" And the older brother said, "No. One chose to indulge, one chose to judge, and one chose to work. None of them chose our Father." "Well, will they be able to come home someday?" "Yes. Father will send me back to them again." "Can we go home?" "Yes." "Will Father forgive me?" "Oh, yes. That's why he sent me." And so the younger brother climbed on the back of the older brother, and they began the journey back home. You see, all four of these brothers heard the exact same invitation. They were given the exact same opportunity to be carried home by the elder brother. And the first said no, choosing a grass hut over his father's mansion. And the second said no, preferring to analyze the mistakes of others then admit his own mistakes. And the third said no, thinking it wiser to make a good impression than to just make an honest confession. But the fourth brother said yes. He said yes, and he chose gratitude and grace over guilt. "I'll indulge myself," said the first. "I'll compare myself," said the second. "I'll save myself," said the third. And the fourth said, "I'll entrust myself to you. I'll entrust myself to you." Now, as you heard this story, as you heard of these brothers, let me ask you this question: which brother are you? We couldn't help but think, as we're reading the story, hearing this story, that one of those brothers may be you. Or you like the first brother, out looking for things and stuff to fill a hole in your heart. Or you like the second brother, keeping track of everybody else's misfortune, everybody else's sin. Or you like the third brother, trying to earn your way, work your way back. Or you like the fourth brother. You realize that you are helpless. You cannot make this journey on your own, that you need a hand from the Father. You see, God is reaching his hand down to us. And we want to be in the grip of his grace. You see, in the first couple chapters of Romans, what Paul lays out really should be known as the bad news. This is not the good stuff. This is what's going on in the world. This is what's going on in our lives. But he doesn't stop there. He says, let me give you the greatest news of all. And in Romans chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, here's his answer. He says this, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. You see, that, church, that's the good news. And I love this story because what it shows to me is we are all one of those brothers. And God has given every single person, every single one of us, a choice. He reaches his hand down to us and says, will you grab my hand? Will you take my hand? Will you take this good news? You see, we all have the choice to make. He's given every single one of us the option, every single one of us on this planet, the option to reach up to him and take his hand. You know, I love the story of Jesus and Peter on the beach after Jesus had died and resurrected and come back. And Jesus was on the shore and he was cooking breakfast and Peter recognized him and ran and hugged him. And do you remember what Jesus said to Peter? He doesn't want a confession of sin. You remember what he wants a confession of? He wants a confession of love. He asked Peter 3 times, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? You see, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That's the good news. And that's what we take to the streets. We're about lives being changed, people being touched. And if you remember last week, we kicked off this series talking about what are you going to do with your life? How are you going to use what God has given to you to make a difference in this world for his kingdom? Are you going to sit in the chair? Are you going to get in the game? And so if you remember last week, we put a challenge in front of you. So if you would, take a second and grab this sheet out of your bulletin. There's a simple challenge that we wanted you to partake in with us as we take it to the streets, to pray, to give, and to go. And we started out last week, I said, you know what? I'm giving you the easiest challenge we'll ever give here at this church. Would you just simply adopt your neighborhood or your street and sometime over the next couple of weeks, walk that street, walk your neighborhood, and just pray for your neighbors. There's been a great response. We still have some more to go, so I'm keeping track of you in here, all right? We already have adopted over 500 streets and neighborhoods. In fact, I think we got a map up here we'll show you as this starts to populate every week. The coverage in Jacksonville that you guys have already participated. So if you have not yet signed up to be a part of praying for your street, your neighborhood, all you simply have to do today is this. Write your name, write your street, and rip this off and drop an offering plate. Every single person in this room should be a part of what we are doing to pray for this community, to pray for this city, to pray for our neighbors. Look at this map as it continues to populate, church. And this is incredible. It's been awesome. Yeah. The stories that have already come. I had one lady who was walking her street and praying for everyone, and the neighbor came out and said, what are you doing? And she said, I'm praying. And then this person began to tell them of prayers that he needs in his life. And so that happened right there in the street in a neighborhood. God's going to use this in a powerful way, church. So please, simply join us in praying for your streets and your neighborhood. Also, we've asked you to participate with us in maybe giving. Every year we do something called Faith Promise here at Christ Church, where we are funding our mission work here in this country and around the world. And every year we ask people to give above and beyond their normal giving, to fund what we do, to make a difference in other places, in other people's lives, to take the good news that we're talking about to people who desperately need to hear it. And so if you've thought about that, or you've been praying about that, if you haven't yet, I pray that you'll put this someplace where you can think about it and pray about it, and you will participate with us, and you will give to what God is doing around the world. And if you want to do that anytime, all you simply have to do is rip that off and drop it in a plate. And the last thing we ask you to do is to go. To be a part of being the hands and feet of God in this community. To find a neighbor in need. To find a coworker in need. To find someone on your kid's ball team in need. To find someone in your kid's class in need and go meet that need. Find out what they need and go do it. Get your group together. We have other projects here at the church that we're going to adopt different homes. That we're going to adopt apartment complexes, some car wash washes. Sorry, I'm from Indiana. We say wash, all right? We have all kinds of things that you can be a part of. So I pray that you will join us in praying, giving, and going. And all you simply have to do for that one too is write your name on it, check what you want to do, drop it in the plate. It is going to be exciting to watch God use you over the next couple of weeks. He is already moving. He is already doing incredible things. And I cannot wait to see what he's going to do as we continue to take the good news of Jesus Christ into the streets of Jacksonville. You know what? As we come to this time right now in our offering, that's what offering time is for. I mean, this building is great and all, but what we collect money for is so we can multiply that money and make a difference and bring people to this place or to go to them and reach them for that gospel message. And so as we collect our offerings now, know that we do it because we have a mission. It's to save every single person on this planet, to lift up the good news of Jesus Christ and allow God to work in their lives. So would you pray with me as we take up our offerings? God, we thank you so much. Thank you so much that you have given us this mission to go, to take the good news into our community. God, would you just multiply this offering? Would you use this in a mighty way, God, so that we can reach more people who need to come to an understanding of your grace, of your mercy, of your forgiveness, of your love? Oh, God, would you use us? God, we just say, here we are, put us in. Let us take the good news into this community. God, we pray all this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.